Let us turn again to the passage of God's word, which we read together, to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, and let us read from verse 47. Luke 7 at verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And I wish to consider particularly the Lord helping us. The first part of verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And verse 50, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. A Pharisee had asked Jesus to come and have a meal at his house, and he went there. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was in the Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster box of ointment and stood behind him weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears and to wipe them off with the hairs of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. The Pharisees were critical. They said there was something in the woman's background which they would categorize as making her a sinner. And no doubt what they meant by that was that she was a prominent sinner. She had a bad character. Well, the Lord is able to change people with a bad character. Let no one hold back from going to Christ because of their past. Why are we going to Christ if we go at all? It's that he would save us. That he would make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. That he would forgive us all our sins. And he is able and he is ready to do that. And the Savior told a little parable. There was the creditor who had two debtors. In one case, what was owed was 500 pence and the other 50. Quite a difference. They had nothing to pay. It was true of them both. And he frankly forgave them. He freely forgave them. The word's meaning has changed, but that's what it means. He did it freely. And asked who of them loved him most. And that was pointing to this. Who would love him most? The great sinner or the one who was less of a sinner in some senses anyway? And Simon agreed that it was the one who had most forgiven. And the Savior acknowledged that he was right. And he pointed to the difference between the love of the woman and Pilate, the Pharisee's love, if indeed there was sincere love. But, you see, the Savior drew out the contrast between Simon and the woman. And it's all pointing to the grace of the woman, the love of the woman, the affection of the woman, And the, I don't want to say the lack of these things, absolutely. The lack of them relatively, that at least there was less of these things in Simon's heart. And we come to our text. Her sins, though they were many, they were forgiven. Though they were many and great, they were forgiven. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Well, we will try to notice 2 points. And although the first point I'm going to make has more in it than 1 point, still we will take them in this way. First, that the woman was saved by her faith, and so her sins were forgiven. The woman was saved by her faith. And then secondly, the Savior assured her that she was in a state of peace. Go in peace. It might be go into peace. Though I'm not so sure of that, that's the best way to translate it. Just to take it that she was in a state of peace. Go in peace. 2 things. First, that she was saved. In particular, her sins were forgiven. And the instrument was her faith. And then secondly, the Savior assuring her that she was in a state of peace. Peace with God. What a blessing. And let us seek to examine ourselves in the light of God's word as to where we are. Well, are our sins forgiven? Are they? Have we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And so, have our faith as the instrument by which we are saved. By God's grace, of course. And the second thing, her being in a state of peace. But the first point just now. The woman was saved. She was saved by faith. In particular, her sins were forgiven. She was guilty. She was guilty of great sin, it would appear. But, she had nothing that could take away her sin. She had nothing that could take away her sin. And that's the way with us. We may have some thoughts of salvation, but we should be conscious of this, that we have nothing to merit salvation. Yes. But whatever was true of Simon, we know what is true of the woman, spiritually speaking. She was forgiven. It was by divine power. And you see, we can take the statement of Christ in the little parable when they had nothing to pay. Simon, Pharisee though he was, had nothing to pay. He had nothing to take before God and say, I deserve to be saved. The woman could not go before God and say, I deserve to be saved. I deserve to be forgiven. And yet she was forgiven. Yes, the Savior pronounced that. He was here in the world as a judge. He was in the world as a judge. Now, you can say he was more than a judge. He came into the world to save. But there was this. which will be most obvious in the day of church, that Christ has been appointed to judge one and all of those who have been in this world. We, all of us here, we will be judged. But he was acting as a judge. He was saying this very clearly. This woman is saved. This woman will go to heaven. Now, it's not that he said that, but he said what implied it. If he says her sins are forgiven, then she was going to go to heaven. She is in heaven. Where will we be? Where will we be? Are we even seeking that our sins would be forgiven? Are we even seeking that the Lord would look upon us and bring us out of Satan's kingdom into his marvelous light? Are we seeking to be brought among the people of God, to have their characteristics, to have what the Lord Jesus can recognize as evidence of salvation? It's as a result of his own work that if we have salvation, it's as a result of his own work. What a blessed thing that is, to be saved. What a blessed thing. In view of eternity, not just that, in view of this world also, to have one and something precious, to have someone we can go to in our troubles, great and small, to be able to go to one who has undertaken to help his own children in their troubles. He is able to help others, but he has undertaken specifically to help those of his children who are in trouble. But you see, he freely forgave the great sinner, and he freely forgives what I hesitate to call the little sinner, but the sinner who has been less guilty. But let us just put in this further point, that when we might seem to be very careful people, careful to keep the commandments of God outwardly at any rate, there's this matter. Are we looking to Christ, or are we going on in the sin of unbelief? You see, there's a danger, as that other Pharisee who was described along with the publican, who was very much trusting in his own good deeds, but they couldn't save him. Yes. He should have been in listening to the public, though he despised him, though he wrote him off, as it were. But you see, when the publican said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," the Pharisee should have said to himself, "Isn't that well expressed? Isn't that suitable for me to make it my own prayer?" Yes. There's always something attractive when you hear somebody say, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Someone asking for mercy. Yes. Someone asking for mercy. Now, if they understand what they're talking about, it's a very good sign. If they understand a little of what they are talking about, isn't that a good sign? "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, whether the woman heard that or not, she would have something of that in her soul. "God be merciful. I am nothing to pay. And it's when people have nothing to pay that he freely forgives them. Yes. And still, though we would have begun to pray in that way, we're to go on praying in that way. Perhaps the publican had been saved for many a long day. Perhaps years had gone by since he first looked to the Messiah that was to come, believing the testimony of God's word that the Savior was to come into the world to save sinners. But still he was using that petition. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, God be merciful. I have nothing. So I come without money and without price to the one who is such a generous giver. We should have that in mind about the Lord Jesus, that he is a generous giver. What's the testimony that we have of Christ? He went about doing good. And we can be sure that he didn't stop doing good when he ascended into glory. He is looking down on this world and he is going here and there and he is doing good. Not in the way of healing miracles, though there may be wonderful healings in God's providence. But they're not miracles in our time. That was a special time, a special thing for the time when Christ was in the world and for a while after. Yes, but he is able to hear prayer. But you see, what I should be particularly deferring to in connection with Christ doing good, he is in heaven. Yes, because he never left heaven, though when he took human nature. He was in this world in a particular way, but he was still in heaven as to his divine nature. But you see, think of Christ in heaven today, and he is doing good. He is looking down on a sinner in Inverness, let us say. He is looking down on another sinner in Dingwall, or Fort Augustus, or Fort William, or wherever it might be. And he has a purpose of mercy. I'm not tying him down to particular times, but that has been happening over the years, and it will happen into the future, I am sure. Whatever the purpose of God in connection with particular places may be, you see, these are just examples. He looks down in particular places and looks down in particular people in these places with a purpose of doing good. A purpose of giving the Holy Spirit to work in their heart, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, the Lord going about doing good. You see, it's all on this basis, as Christ said, writing to the Romans, it's in chapter 5. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, says Paul, without spiritual strength, and when we had nothing to pay, Christ died. Well, the death of Christ is away in the past. But just as surely it's on the basis of the death and the whole saving work of Christ that Paul obtained mercy. So it is for sinners in our generation and in future generations and in generations since the time of Paul. They had no strength. They had no strength to deliver themselves from evil. They had no strength to deliver themselves from going down to destruction. They had no strength to prepare themselves from entering into heaven, yet Christ died. And that's the basis for the salvation of sinners, Christ died. Why did he die? He died bearing the sins of many. He came into this sentence. The wages of sin is death, and he had sin. Now, be clear, Christ was no sinner. He did not sin, but the guilt of all that will be saved was transferred to him. He took that place. He took the place of believing sinners in our time. He took the place of believing sinners in this church. And he suffered instead. He was the substitute. Oh, what a rich and full treasure that is in heaven, that is available to sinners to go there and take in the light of God's word, to take great blessings. Oh, what unspeakable blessings. Yes. Incredible blessings. It's an overused word, I know. But, you see, it's blessings beyond what we are able to imagine. If we find them out, they're no longer incredible. They are absolutely credible. Christ is absolutely trustworthy. That's what you have. Oh, let us be going. Each one for himself and herself to get mercy. Like this woman got, and her sins will be forgiven. And her sins were forgiven. And I think we can take that this is Christ speaking about the greatest matter of all, to have our sins forgiven. But by mentioning the forgiveness of sins, I rather think that there is a reference to every other blessing we might need, every other blessing we might get, and every other blessing we might ask for. You see, every blessing let us be asking. The woman had her sins forgiven, so let us start there. That's what the Savior mentioned. Lord, forgive my sins. Let us be asking that for Jesus' sake. And as it were, let us put our hand into the treasury of divine blessings that Christ has purchased. And that is just to put it in the way of illustration. Putting out hand by grace. Putting out hand by faith. You see, she was saved by faith. So let us put our hand into the treasury of grace. The gracious blessings. What is it that you particularly need just now? Oh, go and put your hand into the treasury that is in heaven. Making mention of Christ. You might say, as it were, Christ told me to come. What I'm thinking of is that you or someone else might go to someone's door asking for something. And you say, by way of justification, for the person in the house doesn't know you. And you say, but so-and-so told me to come. Some mutual acquaintance. Somebody told you to come and was sure that your need would be supplied. Well, that's it. Somebody has told us to come. The preacher is telling you to come. Christ himself is asking you to come, calling on you to come. Yes. And you are to say, I come for Christ's sake. I come because he told me to come. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you various blessings. Oh, go to it. Go to the Lord in the name of Christ. Say, Christ told me to come. And so I ask for forgiveness. I ask for a new heart. I ask for all spiritual blessings. I ask for this little thing. For time. some difficulty I have. Yes. And I think we can safely say, surely we can safely say, Christ told me to come. There's every encouragement to come to the throne of grace. Yes, you can say, Solomon told me to come. Yes. Solomon, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, told me to come. Of course, he didn't mention your name. But you see, these are general things. And by faith, sinners are to lay hold of them. They're to take them for themselves. Yes, Christ told me to come. The Holy Spirit in the Bible told me to come. Oh, let us come then, believing that the Lord hears prayer. Yes, he gives us what is good for us. We're not always wise in our prayers, but the Lord, he doesn't turn away those who ask. Those who come by faith. This woman was saved by faith. Yes. She was forgiven. And you have that in Romans, quoting Psalm 32, which we were singing in Romans chapter 4. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Covered by the blood was the picture in the Old Testament. The blood of the sacrifice poured out. It was as if the guilt was there and the blood is poured over it. It's covered. It's out of sight. That's the effect of the blood of Christ. When it is applied to the sinner, the guilt of the sinner, you can see standing beside him or lying beside him, and the blood is poured over it. And it's not to be taken up by anyone anymore, even by God himself. Perhaps I shouldn't say anyone, but it's not going to be taken up by God himself. The blood has been poured over it, or the blood has been sprinkled over it. It's the sin is forgiven. Yes. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. This woman did not stop sinning the moment she believed. There was a restraint put in her sin. A gracious, godly restraint was put in that woman's sin. But you see, it did not stop. She wasn't living perfectly to the glory of God. She is now that she is in heaven. But you see, the Lord was with her. And the Lord was forgiving her sin. He wasn't putting it to her account. The guilt of her sin wasn't going on her account. It was being referred to Christ. And the blood of Christ was covering over that sin. Yes. And you see what is said about Abraham. Again in Romans 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That's working up to Abraham. The person who is looking for salvation through his own good works, like the Pharisee. The other Pharisee I referred to. He was saying, I give tithes. And he was doing all sorts of good things. And he wasn't like that publican, who was probably as bad as the rest of them. That's what the man would say anyway. But you see, there's this. And that is, those that work, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If that was the case, If one could earn one's salvation by our own good works, then what we'd have to say is, he must deserve forgiveness. That's what we have to deduce. If he could save himself by his own good works, he must be earning salvation, and that is then a debt that God owes to that person. Now that cannot be. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is freely given. Remember the Savior's parable when he said he frankly or freely forgave them. It was free. It wasn't on the basis of the sinner coming and saying, I have done this, I have done that, I deserve to be saved, I deserve to get to heaven. No, God cannot be indebted to anyone. So he cannot be saved by his own good work. He must come in the way that has been appointed. He must come in dependence on Christ. It's to him that does not work, but believes on the one that justifies the ungodly. See, there was no use Simon saying about this man, this woman. She's a sinner. She's a bad woman. It's God justifying the ungodly. People as ungodly as this woman. That's it. All kinds of sinners are to come, but they must come with empty hands. They must not be claiming that they deserve salvation. They must come with empty hands. That's how we are to come. And when the Lord said to this woman, thy sins are forgiven thee, he is saying to her, there was no good deeds involved in this transaction. The forgiveness of sin, the justification of the ungodly, it's the right of God, it's as a result of God's free favor. Yes, you see, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered, whose sins are forgiven. That's what was true for this woman. Yes. You see, what Paul was saying in Antioch, that's the Antioch in the middle of Turkey, in Acts chapter 13, through this man, Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. They are accepted as if they had never sinned. They are accepted by God for the sake of Christ, as if they had always kept all the commandments. It's still the same. And that's what we're trying to preach. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the one through whom sin is forgiven. Christ is the one through whom sinners can be saved. Well, just relatively little on the second point. Christ assured her that she was in a state of peace. Yes. Peace with God. So that God has nothing against us. Now, one has to be a bit careful about that. But you see, as far as our state is concerned, God has nothing against. There's nothing recorded against the sinner that believes in Jesus. Sinner that trusts in Christ for forgiveness. Yes. God has nothing against that sinner. Oh, there's many a thing. And you see, we must bear in mind, just as an example just now, what was true of David and his great sin. The thing that David had done, it displeased the Lord. Now, that displeasure on the part of God was expressed in the way of chastisement. Yes. There were various experiences that David had to go through, and each of them was designed to remind him that he had sinned seriously. That guilt of that, these sins, the guilt of that great sin in particular, was not put to David's account. The Lord never went to him and said, "You must do sufficient good deeds to balance out that great sin." No. No. You see, David was freely forgiven. But he must be taught how serious a matter it is for a believer to sin. God was displeased. Here was David, a man after God's own heart, and yet he sinned in this way. And God was displeased. Ah well, David must repent. David must go to the Lord. He must even come boldly to the throne of grace that he might obtain mercy. And whatever kind of sin we have been committing, let us go to the throne of grace where the great Savior reigns. And we're to ask for forgiveness for his sake. Oh, what a, will I say, a superfluity of provision there is for sinners in the gospel. In a sense, it's more than we need. In another sense, no doubt, we couldn't do with anything less. We must have the full salvation that Christ worked out. The full salvation. And it is a full salvation. And therefore the woman could go in peace. She is at peace with God through the great Savior that was with her at that time. And it's to encourage her, surely, that he spoke to her in these terms. Go in peace. Go on to the rest of your life with a realization that there is peace between you and God. Peace between you and God. You are looking to Christ. Go on that basis, that there is peace between you and Christ. You must go on exercising faith. That is true. Yes, but you see, there was the woman with the issue of blood. And when she came hesitatingly to Christ, not in every sense of the word, but she, you see, she was so keen to hold back. Who was she to acknowledge Christ publicly? Who was she? But you see, she still touched the hem of Christ's garment. She still wanted to have a connection with the Savior. And what's the Savior's answer? Be of good comfort, daughter. Be of good comfort. He's speaking to her as one of his children. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And there's that said to every child of God. Whatever hesitations they may have, whatever focus they might have on their sins, ah yes, but let their focus rather be on the one who can save, the one who can forgive, the one who died, the one who took the guilt of sinners upon him, that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Sinners believing in Christ will with absolute certainty go to heaven. Yes. It's such a wonderful, such a complete salvation. Yes. And whatever experiences she might have to go through, still, she could have this assurance. I know it wasn't spoken at that time, but the substance of it is in this. Go in peace. What I'm thinking of is Paul's words to the Romans in chapter 8, when he said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, all things work together for good. They might seem to go in the wrong direction in and of themselves, but there's other things, and they're coming together. David's sin wasn't for his good. But along with the sin, there was repentance. And along with the repentance, there was forgiveness. And along with that, there was a fresh and continuing looking to the Messiah, trusting in him. Yes. Are these words of Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. She was to enter into peace. And God was thinking thoughts of peace to her. Not thoughts of punishment. Not thoughts of vengeance. Thoughts of peace. He was at peace with her. He was her friend. Christ was her Savior. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. And that's what he is saying to his people here tonight. Thoughts of peace. That's what I have, the Lord is saying. Not of evil. Not of bad things. In any sense. Not of trouble. Though he may use trouble by way of justice. Justice meant so that his people would get a bad taste in connection with sin, and it would be a help to them to keep away from sin. Thoughts of peace then. These are the Lord's thoughts towards his people, even in a time of justice. And he will give you, if you are one of his children, he will give you that end that you expect, that your hope goes out. The hope of eternal blessedness. The hope of being received into heaven. But again, you see, he that hath my commandments and loveth me, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Even a desire to keep God's commandments, a heart desire to keep God's commandments, a desire that brings the person to the throne of grace and to say, Lord, keep me. Keep me, for I trust in thee. Give me grace to trust in thee. Give me and put thy everlasting arms about me to keep me from going off to sin, to keep me from loving sin. This woman, she loved much, and she got great blessing. She got these words from the Savior's mouth, go in peace. And she was saved by faith. She was trusting in the power of Christ to save her. And there was plenty in the Old Testament scriptures for her heart to lay hold of. Yes, plenty in Psalm 51, for instance, for her heart to lay hold of and to pray. Do thou with hyssop sprinkle me, I shall be cleansed so. What a great matter it is for a sinner to pray in a believing way. Do thou with hyssop sprinkle me, I shall be cleansed so. Yea, wash thou me, and then I shall be whiter than the snow. She loved much. She had a love to God's commandments. And so she might say, as Joshua it did to the Saviour when he came to as the commander of all the Lord's armies, he said, what saith the Lord to his servant? Yes. But you see, there was that woman whom the Lord pardoned. Although she was accused by the Pharisees, and very likely their accusation of adultery was correct. But you see, the Pharisees were not thinking of this. They were not thinking of Psalm 32, that the Lord forgives iniquity, that the Lord doesn't, that the Lord covers over sin. They didn't believe that that could happen in the case of this outward sinner. But you see, the Lord pardoned the woman, and the Lord sent her away with these words, go and sin no more. And when the Lord receives sinners today, and if the Lord speaks into their souls in some words as these, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace, then this that the Lord also says, whether the sinner hears it or not, or whether it's some time later that things are put together, that the forgiveness is put together with the call to obedience, go and sin no more. These words, these blessed words, oh, that we would keep them in mind, that the one who has saved sinners is also saying, go and sin no more. Go into peace. Feel the peace that there is between you and Christ. Recognize, if there is that evidence, that you are a saved sinner. Recognize it. Yes. And trust in the Lord to carry you on in that state of peace. Yes. Or in David's words, Psalm 19, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over willful sins. And we should all be praying in that way, that we are kept from all sin indeed. Yes, but let us notice this. The Lord said about many sinners, through Isaiah, chapter 59, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Now I'm quoting that by way of warning. Those to whom the Saviour has never said, go in peace. Those who have no evidence of a heart desire to walk in the way of God's commandments, to go through this world trusting in Christ Jesus. Well, be warned as to the end of such a life, going on in the ways of unrighteousness, making for themselves crooked paths. Whosoever goeth in them shall not know peace throughout all the endless ages of eternity. Will you not come to Christ now? Will you not look to him? Will you not hear his voice saying to you, now, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, poor and needy as we are. We need thee. We need to be turned from our own ways. Grant us thy blessing. Speak powerfully to our souls. Speak graciously to thy people, that they would hear Christ saying to them, go in peace. That they would hear him saying, thy faith has saved thee. O Lord, deal graciously with thy people, but deal graciously with those who are not thy people. Speak to them. Oh, find them out, and may they find themselves to be sinners, and may they know their need of Christ to work in their souls, that they might be turned from their own ways. Do good in thy good pleasure to sinners, and build up the walls of Jerusalem. Pardon us, take care of us, be with us now and always. And do us good for the Redeemer's sake. Amen.